little boy was kneeling beside his bed, saying his bedtime prayers with his mother and with his grandmother who had come to visit. And he began his prayers like he did every night in a very quiet, prayerful voice. Dear God, bless mommy and daddy and watch over our whole family. And then the voice changed and he started to speak very loudly and he said, and also please remember my birthday, I want a bicycle. And his mother was shocked. This was very unusual behavior. So she said, honey, you don't have to shout. God can hear you just fine. And he said, I know he can. It's grandma that I'm worried about. If we're honest, probably most of us are a little concerned also that God hears our prayers. Even in the best of times, prayer is mysterious, and then there are times where it can be pretty challenging. Someone has said, I think it's good advice, that prayer is just simply a conversation with God, and that helps make sense of what we're doing. But we all know that sometimes conversations just sort of flow naturally, and sometimes conversation can be forced, and at times communication just pretty much breaks down altogether. And prayer is kind of like that, isn't it? Sometimes there's maybe a sense of connection that words just flow, and then there are times where it feels a little more forced, and then there are times when it just breaks down altogether. How do you pray when it's hard? That's the question we're going to wrestle with today. It's a question that came up when we asked our congregation things they would like to hear sermons about. How do you pray when it's hard? So it's probably a question that more than just one person has, and maybe something that you've experienced. How do you pray when it's hard? And we got a little guidance for you today. We wanted to be really practical with this message. So on the back of your bulletin, you will see some tools, as there often are. At the top, there are scriptures for the week ahead, and you can see how to get those sent to you by text. And then there are a couple places for fill-ins at the top of the outline. And then practical things to do when it's hard to pray. We're going to talk through those later. So that if you're kind of in a tough spot right now, you have something where you can go and maybe put one thing into practice this week. If you're not in that tough space, then it might be really helpful for you to tuck this in a place where you know where it will be, just in case there's a time when you find yourself having a hard time to pray. And we'll talk through those in just a little bit. You know, there's no doubt that God invites us to pray, and there are specific commands and actual prayers in the Bible. There's this sort of overarching theme in Scripture that God wants us to talk to Him, and it's almost as if God will do anything, entice us, command us, guide us, to get us to do that, to connect with Him. And really, that's what prayer is, isn't it? Simply connecting with God. Not necessarily about the kind of words that we pray, though we sometimes get hung up on that. Am I doing it right? Am I saying it right? Some people we think maybe pray better than others, judged on how well they speak out a prayer. And yet, the connection part is really what it's all about. I've come to understand that prayer is really simply showing up, trying to be as honest and authentic as possible in life, in God's presence. And sometimes that involves what I say to God. But the connection part is the real part. And so when we say it's hard to pray, my guess is that it's not so much whether we find the right words, though that's part of it. The deeper thing is the connection piece. We find it hard to connect with God. And I think that happens in three different kind of scenarios, different experiences in our lives. And you might want to write these down. When is it hard to pray? Since I didn't know exactly who was asking the question for this one or what was behind that question, we got to thinking, when is it hard for people to pray? And came up with three things. It's hard to pray when we're hurting. Tragedy, loss, sorrow, shock. When we become depressed or discouraged. When our circumstances defeat us. When we're sick, when we're tired, when we're sick and tired, when we're sick and tired of being sick and tired. When we just don't know if our prayers are working, sometimes God seems absent, and our prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling back to us. The Psalms are full of all kinds of prayers. In fact, it's been said that there are three kinds of Psalms. There are the prayers that we pray when the sun is shining. There are the prayers that we pray when the sun is hidden. And there are the prayers that we pray when the sun rises again. And the implication there, that even as we read the Bible, is that there are a lot of different kinds of prayers and a lot of different reasons to pray. And it kind of pushes against that tendency we all have to think that we need to pray only the sunshiny kind of prayers, the kind of prayers where we've got it all kind of figured out enough to be able to package it and give it to God in some sort of palatable kind of prayer, like let's just pretty it up just enough or put on a good face so that we can pray the right words, pray with the right emotion, pray the right thing. Well-worded, nice, pretty prayers. But read the Psalms. They are not all like that. The Psalms say things like, Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? And I read those words and think, I wonder how many. Like, is it a lot, or does it just seem like a lot? It doesn't really say. Or Psalm 6 that says, Lord, have mercy on me, for I am faint. Heal me, for my bones are in agony. It's a little melodramatic, if you ask me. But God seems to answer that prayer or respond to it just all the same. Jesus himself quoted Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? While he hung on the cross. And Psalm 77 prays honestly. Let's put it on the screen. I remembered you, and I groaned. I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't talk. My spirit asked, will the Lord reject me forever? How's that for honesty? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? What's the implication? There are a lot of different ways to pray. We might even say that any emotion can lead to connection. You might want to write that down. Any emotion can lead to connection. Fear, anger, depression, grief. These are not pretty emotions, but they are a great source and link to connection, to prayer. Yelling at God is a form of prayer. Ugly crying in God's presence, because most of us don't have pretty crying. Most of us have ugly cries. Ugly crying in God's presence is prayer. Piercing pain expressed to God is a form of prayer. And in those times, simply turning our faces to God is really the thing that connects us. Attention toward God may be what faith looks like when we don't know what the words are, or when the words that come out aren't very pretty. It's not about getting the answer right or saying the right words. It's simply about connecting to God, maybe not despite what we're going through, but because of it. It's hard to pray when we're hurting. It's hard to pray when we don't get the answer that we want. Amen. It's not easy to pray when most of us who have sort of had this experience have had times when we prayed specifically for something that made total sense, that there's no argument that it's a good thing, that we would want it, that anybody sane would want this to happen, and that a good God of the universe would want it to happen, and it just doesn't happen. And that can sour us on prayer, can't it? To make it worse, we've been told, or we sometimes tell ourselves, that we just must not be doing it right. Like, it would be working if, fill in the blank, that we had prayed harder, or we had more faith, or if we had prayed specifically, or if we did not doubt, or if more people had been praying with us, or if we had said the words right, or if we had shut our eyes, spun around three times, patted ourselves on the head, and rubbed our bellies. That something on our side of things must be wrong. There must be some disconnect, and it must be on my side of things, because we don't get the answer. But then, in our best days, we know better. Because who wants a God who's like a vending machine? You know, like the prayer's the quarter you put in, and then you get the thing out. Who wants a vending machine God? Well, some days I do, right? Some days we all do. That's honest, and we can be honest. But on our best days, we can step back and maybe disconnect from the emotions enough just to see that we want a God who is also the God of the universe and who's mysterious. And on my best days, I'll take mystery over a sort of mechanistic vending machine God. I'll take mystery any day. In fact, on my best days, I realize that it's not only okay to have some mystery, but the only relationship that makes sense between me and the God of the universe is pretty mysterious. And so it might not be that I'm doing it wrong, but there's plenty that I don't understand. It's hard to pray when we're ashamed. And I think this might be the number one obstacle to prayer, actually. It's hard to pray when we don't feel like we deserve to be heard, when we have failed, wronged God or somebody else, when we've done what we said we wouldn't do, when we've not done what we said we had hoped to do or would do. Maybe more than anything else, guilt and shame and fear keep us from praying. But one of the purposes of prayer is to connect with God when we need him the most. And guess what? This is it, right? Again, not after we have sort of figured our lives out enough so that we can present ourselves in some sort of fashion to God, but when we realize that we need help. When you mess up, confess it. And confess your truth honestly. Tell God, connect. Use that as your chance to connect. And many of us will try to rationalize or explain or tell God how we're going to do better, and it begins to look like a dysfunctional cycle of addiction where God is the person that we loved, and we've just promised that we're by our own willpower, our own hearts, and we mean it, we're going to do better next time, rather than just simply owning the truth and telling God, we don't know. Just tell the truth. God, this is what's going on. This is what happened. This is what I'm feeling. I know it was wrong. Help me. And sometimes simply naming the truth in God's presence is the most important prayer that we could pray. And then remember that relationship was God's idea to start with. Do you think God is surprised that we struggle? Do you think God is surprised? He's like, oh, I love them, but ooh, they've messed up just one too many times. He sent his son to show us that that's not the way our loving Father thinks of us. And so one of the primary purposes of prayer is to teach us that we have a loving Father who cares for us. And maybe it's in that the relationship, the connection breaks down. For some of us, the difficulty praying has at its source just a skewed, messed up understanding of God as our Father. Today is the day where we celebrate the very best of the men who are fathers and the men who lead in our community, in our church, and in our world. But I can speak from personal experience. I am an imperfect father. And in that imperfection, I've begun to learn that that's an analogy that eventually will break down. God is not always like me. And on my best days, God is a much better father than I am. It happens that I'm an imperfect father, but I'm learning that that's not a reflection on the kind of father that God is. Prayer helps me connect to a perfect father who loves perfectly, whose greatest desire is to pick us up when we have fallen down, and not just because things have happened to us, but sometimes because we have failed. And this is the thing that God wants to do the most. This is what grace and mercy are all about. So when we fail, this can be the best time, the most healing time to pray. So as we push against those sort of tendencies, those struggles that we have that are real and honest and human, then what do we do? How do we pray when it's hard? That's the question, right? So not only how do we think about it, but what do we do? And this is where we wanted to give really practical sort of some steps to take. Now, I have to say, I'm a little leery about giving 10 easy steps to pray when it's hard, because here's what some of us will do. Like, well, I went through the list. I did all of them, and I still messed it up, so I'm still doing it wrong. Or, you know, somehow we can think we're just not doing it right. This is not magic. This is not a fix-all. This is part of the mystery of doing relationship with God. But these are some things that might help, and some of us in some ways more than others. And maybe if nothing else, it is a way of thinking about prayer that expands that sense of connection to God, as well as give us some things to do. And so this is on your bulletin. I want to just talk through them. One possibility is to find a place. Like if you're stuck, if you're struggling, you might just simply need to go somewhere else. And it might be some place that you really helps you connect, so outside, or in a place that's just meaningful to you, a place that's quiet, where it might simply be that you go to some place that's not in the physical place where you are now. Just going somewhere else, getting out of one context into another is helpful. The church is open. Our sanctuary is open during the day, every day during the week. And people come into our sanctuary all the time to pray, and that's a quiet place most of the time. But that might be a place that you go. There are a few times I've gone up to the hill on Western's campus, some of the prettier places, and sat down and prayed. Gethsemane Abbey is a place I went last summer during my renewal leave and spent some significant time there praying. But even as I talk about this, I want to just kind of push against this being sort of magical in some way, because I sat down to pray last July and started rehearsing all the things, like, what do you do? Like, when everything's quiet and you're not doing anything, you don't have tasks to do, and your job is to be to sit in God's presence and pray. I'm like, okay, what do I do? How do I do that? And I'm like, oh, I should have done this, and I should have done that, and I could have. And all of a sudden, I was starting to rehearse all the things I wasn't doing right. Does anybody do that? Like, when you sit down, that's when it gets worse. When you get quiet, it gets worse before it gets better. And part of the structure of that retreat, while I was at the Abbey there, near Bardstown, was that a priest gives a little talk, and he says, and right after you kind of had a few minutes to yourself, they sit you down and say, okay, here's what you're doing. Don't do any of that. Just simply sit in God's presence. It's not easy. And sometimes it takes some discipline, and it doesn't necessarily make it always all that easy. But it can be a great tool. Go someplace else. I want to tell this story. My best friend, Len, was a missionary in Africa, and he was going on a retreat. They'd been serving in Tanzania, and they and their family, the four of them, went to a beautiful resort sort of beach area to disconnect and to recharge and have time as a family. And he and I talked on the phone every week while they were in Africa. It helped actually give us the discipline of our accountability and encouragement with one another, and we've continued that. They were there 3 years, and then they've been back 4 or 5, so that's really solidified that discipline for us. But so we were on the phone talking, having our conversation, and he was describing this thing that happened while he was trying to do the thing we just said to do, go find a place. They had gone to this resort place, and he was walking along the beach, which was more like this rocky sort of shore there in Africa with lots of little holes and lots of animals and critters kind of coming out and little crabs and things, and the sun was rising. It was early in the morning, and the waves were lapping on the shore, on the rocky shore, and it was just beautiful. And he began to sing, and he's an awful singer, so nobody was there, and it didn't really matter. And he started singing these hymns of the faith and started singing, "How great thou art, O Lord my God, when I an awesome wonder." And about it, just sort of getting into that, when it kind of comes to the climax of that song, an eel jumped out right at his foot and went across his feet. And he jumped back and said some things that were not prayerful. And we laughed. Sometimes it's just, that's the way it is. Sometimes it's hard to pray. That's the sermon, right? Sometimes it's hard to pray. It might be helpful to pray scripture. Eugene Peterson has said, prayer is nourished and flourishes when it is firmly rooted in the creative and redemptive word of the living God. Sometimes prayer is... I try to root prayer in my head, and I try to pull it out of something that's going on inside of me, and it doesn't work. Do you have that experience where it's just like it's stale, or it's kind of coming out of your own head, and that's part of the problem? Got to get outside of yourself, and the Word of God is a tremendous source for us when we're trying to pray. You can Google scriptures to pray, and you're going to have more than you need to know, more than you can pray, but we give you a few things as well from the Lord's Prayer, from the prayers of the Psalms that are in Scripture that we can pray, so that our prayers can be firmly rooted in the creative and redemptive word of the living God. That's a call up to prayer. We can use not only the words of Scripture, but the prayers of other people, and we listed a few things that you might go to for that. I think it helps us realize that we are part of a community of prayer. And again, when the burden is on me as an individual, it's helpful to go to people who have been through things, who have processed and wrestled in their relationship with God, and through out of their pain and out of their joy and out of their processing, have written down the words of that relationship that they have with God, the connection they have with God. And then we have the gift of just taking that whole struggle and being able to put into words things that we might not have ever come to on our own. Or it might be just like this week, we had our annual conference session. People were here praying and preaching. And one of the people who was who gave a message at our annual conference was Paige Williams, who's a pastor in Hopkinsville. And Paige's mother died this year, about 6 or 7, 8 weeks ago. And she was asked to speak to all the other families of pastors and pastors' wives who had lost someone this week. And she was able to tell of her experience and talk about the wrestling that she had been through that was so helpful to those folks. It was very honest, going through whatever they were going through. Paige wrote a prayer for our annual conference that came in an email this morning. So this morning, I woke up to an email from the Methodist in Kentucky, which was a prayer for the church today. And this is what Paige wrote. Come, Holy Spirit, send fire into our hearts, blow the dust from our souls. I'm going to tell you, I never would have come up with something like that this morning as I was getting ready for church. But there it just came into my email box because I'm part of a community, because we're part of a community of people who are in relationship with God in different points of connection. And that's powerful. I never would have come up with that prayer on my own. That's why the prayers of other people are important. We can pray with someone. This may be not rocket science, but just it's a time to remember the power of that. On Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, I was reminded of that. I call Tuesday here at Broadway Talk About It Tuesday, which is a nice way of saying you're going to be in meetings all day long. And one of the things that we do is pray before meetings because we're a church and that's what that's what you do, right? And so honestly, sometimes those prayers we're just like, okay, we got business to do, but we're supposed to pray, so we pray. And that's the discipline of it. But some days, like a week ago Tuesday, it was very different than that. I went to our teaching team meeting at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock Tuesday morning, and Pastor Wayne Hunter, who's now at Greenwood, prayed a prayer that just kind of brought it, kind of just nothing special, but just was real and honest and sort of like, okay, we're stepping up to this day and God's going to be at work. And then I went into our Care and Connections meeting and Pastor Joe did the same thing. We asked him to pray and it was just like he had gotten the memo, like we gotta remember why we're here and prayed for every single person that we would be talking about and every single person in our church who was struggling in any way. And it was just, yeah, that's what we're here to do. And then our worship team meeting, same thing, Martha prayed. And it was just brought us to a sort of remember that we're here and God's here and let's see what's going to happen. And at the end of that meeting, we said, well, you know, we really need to pray for and over one of our staff members who's got a lot on his plate coming up. And we all laid hands on him and prayed and it was like the Holy Spirit showed up. Imagine that. But it wouldn't have happened without that community of people that we are praying with. And we all have that if we can cultivate it. And some days we'll feel very normal, and some days we will be reminded of how the Spirit shows up. I don't know if you do this. I do this a lot. Pray a repeated phrase, something to meditate on or marinate. I like the word marinate, where the truth just soaks in and permeates us. And a phrase prayed again and again can do that. We have a few on the list there for you. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. It's called the Jesus Prayer. Has been prayed for thousands of years. And it's just a prayer that you can access and have from memory and pull up at any time. I have a prayer. I pray, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy over specific people and specific situations. We have friends who have been through crisis. And every time I drive by their house, I make the sign of the cross and pray that prayer for them. Those aspiration prayers or those repeated marinating meditation prayers can be the things that we do just sort of as something that reminds us to pray, and we just pray it, like when you brush your teeth or when you go by somebody's house. Or it can be something that we do intentionally and sit down and pray that very simple prayer with our breath as we breathe in and out for minutes or hours at a time. And those prayers are especially helpful when we just don't have a lot of mental energy or we need to focus, and we can just call up a few simple words. Jesus said, we're not saved by just babbling a bunch of words. Sometimes it's helpful to get very simple and to focus. The Bible reminds us that the Holy Spirit prays for us, and we put this in here just sort of as a thing to remember, a scripture to call on when we are struggling to pray. In Romans 8, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness when it's hard to pray. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. A lot's happening there, isn't it? And it's not so dependent on us. So that's, the thing to remember. A lot's happening, and God working in us, we may not even know the extent of it, and it might not come through our own mental abilities. The Spirit's at work. It might be helpful to take a physical posture of prayer. There are times when it's helpful to be on our knees. There are times when there's nothing to do but to be on our faces before God. This morning as I was coming in, one of the people at A15 said, you know, I like the rain, but she's a gardener, and she said, I've been on my knees a lot because I have to pick the weeds out of the garden, and I can relate to that. And she said her friend told her, well, that's good, you're already on your knees, why don't you pray? And I think that's a good reminder to me, especially because I'm usually cursing the weeds rather than praising God. It's a metaphor for life, by the way. Sometimes it's helpful to write our prayers out. Some of us, this will be more helpful for than others. Pastor Rick has said for many years that the thoughts untangle themselves through the pen. And for some of us, it's very helpful to put into words what we can't sort of get into some sort of a form that makes sense in our heads. Sometimes it's helpful to be silent and to let God be silent. Pastor Wayne, as we were preparing the message, said this: sometimes silence is what God is saying to us. Sometimes silence is what God is saying to us. And in that, there can be trust and peace and quiet, maybe the very things that we need. Or finally, there are times when we need to let someone pray for us when we cannot pray for ourselves. How do you pray when it's hard? Sometimes it's in asking someone to pray for you and relying as a lifeline on those prayers. And we have, in our ministry, given that advice to people, parents who are grieving the loss of children. We've given that advice to people who are suffering from addiction. And anytime, as we've offered prayers up for each other, the thing that I hear over and over again is people say, I cannot describe what that feels like. Maybe you've been in that place. I cannot describe what it feels like when people are praying for me. And as a pastor, someone who offers prayer for people a lot, you know, in those times when, you know, my kid has surgery or my grandmother died, and then people just sort of surround you with texts and offers of prayer, and then you just kind of know that they are, there is something that I've felt that is just kind of beyond description. When you can't pray, we will. That is one of the commitments we make to each other, right? When we say yes to the church, part of why we ask people to take vows of membership is this call up. It's not like membership has its benefits and, you know, it's like joining the country club. Part of the deal is that we are saying that we're going to be present for each other and intentional with each other when it comes to prayer. So that when other people are going through things when they can't pray for themselves, we step in the gap for that. We're saying yes to, when you can't pray, we will. And when we get into that place, part of the agreement we make with when we join this family is that there will be times when we walk into the darkness, our brothers and sisters walk into the darkness with us. When they can't pray for themselves, we will. We'll pray for them. When it's too hard to pray, when we can't summon the courage to pray, someone will be praying in your place. And I think that's what the Bible means when it says, bear one another's burdens. If you look at that list, there might be something that's helpful to you right now. Again, especially if you're in a place where it's hard to pray right now. There might be something that you just want to tuck away and remember at a later date and just put that list somewhere where you will know where to find it if the time arises. Because the truth is, the time's going to arise. It's going to happen. And so let's close our time today going to one last prayer in the Bible. And it's an interesting prayer. It's a prayer that is sort of in the vein of the Hebrew scripture that we should go to God in confidence. And approach him in our time of need, as the writer of Hebrews wrote. Well, that's what we find in 1 Kings chapter 8. It's a prayer that Solomon prayed at a very interesting time. It's a prayer that was prayed over the dedication of the temple. Now, up to this point, there's been a lot of to-do about the formation and the building of that temple. It's taken years. It's very expensive, and this is pretty grand. So you would think you've been to maybe a dedication or a ribbon cutting, and you know the kinds of things that we say, like they're high aspiration, big vision things. Like, we rededicated our sanctuary a month or so ago after we renovated it, and the prayers that I prayed were like for the Holy Spirit to show up and for lives to be changed and for the world to be different. That's the kind of prayers that I like to pray. And, I think there's something to that. I'll defend that. But Solomon's prayer, after all this preparation, the dedication of the temple, was not like that. It was simply a prayer that whenever we pray, that God would hear. And then Solomon begins to list the things that might happen that we would need God to hear us for. And he says at first, whether it's daytime or nighttime, God, hear our prayers. So whether the sun is shining, whether the sun is hidden, or whether the sun's getting ready to rise again. It ends with, whenever we cry out, God, would you hear our prayers? And in the middle, there are a lot of other things. When we're guilty, when we've wronged our neighbor, when we've been defeated by an enemy, when it doesn't rain, when disaster might come. Solomon had a reputation for being wise. So we have to think he kind of knew this stuff was coming. He knew the likelihood was 100%, the forecast was 100%, that there would be times like this. Solomon was just being honest. And so they dedicated a place where they could connect with God, whatever might come. What we'd like to do this morning is to claim the words of that prayer and to recognize and ask for God to hear us. Our prayer today is that God would hear us today and whatever we might be experiencing, but also that God would hear us here and now and in the future, whatever might come. It's our way of sort of prayerfully preparing for whatever the future may bring, because we don't know. There are going to be times when it's hard to pray. And this prayer today is about that. I'll lead us and then invite you to respond together. Your response will be on the screen, but it is, hear our prayer, O Lord. And that's our prayer, that God would hear our prayers no matter what. Will God really dwell with us, Solomon says. When the skies and heavens are not large enough to hold him, will he live among us? Will he hear us when we pray in the day or in the night? Hear our prayer, O Lord. When we are broken by life because of our own choices or the choices of others, hear our prayer, O Lord. When life is dry and there is no refreshing rain for our souls, hear our prayer, O Lord. When there's no bread for our bodies or spirits, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew, if we are besieged by opposition, whatever sickness may come, hear our prayer, O Lord. If we find ourselves foreigners in a strange place, alone and lonely, hear our prayer, O Lord. When we rise up to battle against evil and injustice and prejudice and hate, hear our prayer, O Lord. When we have wandered from your grace and are captives to habits and relationships and are far from faith, whenever we call to you, hear our prayer, O Lord. Make us objects of your compassion. Restore our souls that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. And all God's people said, Amen.